Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation on this birthday of the Declaration of Independence in the year 2011. I'm a professional actor, if you don't know who I am. This is my eighth fill-in. I have a T-shirt coming. We'll be number eight. Sat in for Savage eight times. See if you can match that. Dwight Schultz, professional actor for over 40 years, well over 40 years, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, and Barclay on Star Trek Next Generation, Voyager, Film First Contact, a lot of movies. I was in the Broadway theater and regional theater for 15 years before I ever set foot in front of a television camera for network. I did do some regional public television, which is embarrassing. But I am not afraid of being embarrassed. I'm filling in for one of the greats. I'm sitting here behind one of the great microphones. I am not afraid to be embarrassed. I am doing my best to fill in for one of the greats. By the way, this could be the Savage Psychic Network soon. If you've seen the reports in the Associated Press, the WorldNet Daily, these stories about Dominique Strauss-Kahn and Dr. Savage's forewarning. Of course, he wouldn't say it was any psychic ability. It was probably some nutritional ability, secret nutritional ability, which he will keep to himself because he will give you all of the information that he can and share with you, except to keep these secrets away from you. But he knew, because he's a smart man who used common sense. This sounded like a setup to him, and he went out on a limb? I don't think so. And told you the truth. Wait, will you? This doesn't sound right. You know, men are taking advantage of it in society today. Yeah. In our society. Not in China or in India or in the radical Muslim world, but here in the United States and in Western Europe, where our populations are dwindling, men are being denied the things that make men, men. You can see it. Just look at the population growth. You ask yourself, why is this happening? Ask David Frum. We'll get to that later. He's changed his mind about same-sex marriage. He said he was wrong. I wasn't wrong about you, David. I'm not wrong about you. At any rate, professional actor for over 40 years, a conservative all my life, an aficionado of talk radio. Please go up to Dr. Michael Savage, or go up to michaelsavage.com. Most of the topics that we're going to deal with are up there on his website. He is interested in all of the things that you and I are interested in. And he tells us ahead of time what he thinks, and then we follow. Of course, every once in a while, somebody else has something to say, and they say it first. But it is, in general, one of the best places to go when you want to actually know what is important as opposed to what the major media is telling you is important, because you can be guaranteed that if the major media is shoving something down your throat, that the real dark matter, the stuff that is spinning galaxies, is somewhere else. When you don't hear something talked about, you know it's important. You can almost count on that. Today, the Declaration of Independence. An amazing document. You know, the rest of the world was stunned. not just by the Declaration of Independence and the Revolution, because revolutions are common, and they're usually violent. This one was too. They are usually the result of a small percentage of populations, because populations in general don't revolt. Small percentages of populations revolt, usually individuals who are willing to die for whatever the revolution says or is. And so when the U.S. Revolution was underway, the rest of the world, King George, its revolutions are a dime a dozen. It wasn't until, and this was really what sucked the air out of Western Europe, Eastern Europe, all over the world, what sucked the air out of the rest of the world was when George Washington handed over the reins of power through the election process. That is what changed the world. That's what made this different. Because the symbols, which all words are, that's all that they are. In fact, that's all that we really are. Human beings are our consciousness, our gray matter. Basically, we are symbols. Everything, our clothes, everything we wear is a statement about who or what you are. Everything you write, the words themselves are all symbols to express thought, which something is going on in your head. When we talk, we are making sounds that are symbols that are recognized by other people who share the same sounds so that we can communicate. So that unlike the chimp who looks at the banana on the tree and just eats it, you look at it and say, I could sell that for 49 cents a pound. That's what I'm going to do. I'm a little bit hairy right now. So I've got to shave all this hair off and look a little different. Because when I go to the chimp marketplace, I want to be known as the naked chimp. Please forgive me. I'm reading a book called Them and Us, which is really a profound book about Neanderthals and human beings. And check it out on the internet. I haven't finished it yet. It's a new formulation about human beings and Neanderthals, Cro-Magnon man and Neanderthals, and it makes a great deal of sense. When I'm finished reading it and I have digested it all, I will go down the line when I have this great opportunity. An opportunity as great and wonderful as this one is. But today is a special day. And every time I read the Declaration of Independence, or every time I go into the Constitution, or listen to television, and have you all seen Time magazine? Picture of the Constitution in a shredder. Yes. It's in a shredder. Does it still matter? The Constitution. Well, it depends, you know. I don't think it matters to progressives. They spend a lot of time attacking it. I have two examples I want to play for you now. Charles, get number one ready. This is Ezra Klein. He was on NBC. And he's typical. He's Washington Post, young, smart set guy. But he had this to say about the Constitution of the United States, and it's unambiguously stupid, but you should hear it on this particular day anyway. Number one, please, Charles.
Yes, it's a gimmick. I mean, you could say two things about it. One is that it has no binding power on anything. And the two, the issue of the Constitution is not that people don't read the text and think they're following. The issue of the Constitution is that the text is confusing because it was written more than 100 years ago. And what people believe it says differs from person to person and differs depending on what they want to get done.
Now, excuse me. This is when the Republican took over the Congress. They were reading the Constitution. And Klein was calling it a gimmick, and he was saying, you can't carry it. It's complicated. You can't read it. You know, it's like me. I can't get these curls out of my hair. I can't. I mean, I run a comb through them, and they just fall back into place. That's it. It's a fact because I've said it. But Ezra Klein, it is not. It is one of the clearest documents. It is absolutely crystal clear. The problem is it doesn't say what you want it to say, and so therefore it's not clear. That is a different problem altogether. That's a progressive totalitarian view of the world. I sit at the apex, and I'm looking down at something that I don't want to be there, so I will change the value of the words. That's all I need to do. And all I have to do is find a group of individuals who will agree with me, and when they do, we can guarantee, we can state without question that this is a living, breathing document. And then this is another short clip. Charles, get him a three ready. I think we have time for this. Here it is. This was ABC. This is Douglas Brinkley and ABC Television. Number three.
It's a very slippery slope to start cherry-picking your favorite golden oldie from the founding fathers and slapping it on to political speeches today. Democrats and Republicans quote from the founding fathers, but we shouldn't act like they were somehow omnipotent.
The reality is that the framers posed in paintings as though frozen on an American Olympus. They were not gods, they were guys. Guys who didn't give women the vote and who let slavery stand for the time being and who, by the way, were trying to create at the time a stronger central government. Of course, not too strong, leaving to us a constitution that we could fix as needed. Sorry, make that amend, which we've now done 27 times.
When you look at the founding documents of our country, they're elastic. They're meant to be pulled and bent in different directions as each era dictates.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And the telephone number here on the Savage Nation is 1-800-449-8255. Now, this is not Dr. Savage. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Savage on this great day. Please celebrate, especially if you've read that Harvard study which says that the 4th of July is for Republicans, and it creates Republicans and builds patriotic Republicans and people who are patriotic and people who understand the symbol of the flag and independence and freedom. So go out there and celebrate and make those guys at Harvard feel good. And all of you Democrats and you progressives, hide in your holes. Take your flags down. In fact, run around and try to take other flags down so that we can take pictures of you and then take you to court. So when we suspect that we are more patriotic than you, I guess we're right because Harvard said it's true. So we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the rights of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness. So the question is, how firmly do we stand behind this document? Were they justified in doing what they were doing? It's a good time to think about it. It's a good time to think about those words. What is our government doing today? Is it the constitutional government that we thought it was? That people bring out this little copy of the Constitution and say, here it is, here's the Constitution. But that is not it. The Constitution today is burdened with thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of excess verbiage that have been slapped upon its pages by political appointees. Some of those appointees were even corrupt, and their words are alive today in the Constitution. But there was a process in this living, breathing document. As they didn't really mention in that ABC clip that I played earlier, it's called the amendment process. That's what makes it a living document. But progressives, they don't see that way. No, they don't see it that way. We're going to deal with that today. They've decided that really going straight to the courts is the way to make this a living, breathing document and to place one branch of the government against another and have a little conflict. We're going to have a little conflict. That's how we solve problems. Conflict. Well, we're playing with danger when we do this. But I'm going to read to you later some conflict from courts that have to do with the very basis of our civilization. I also want to read to you something that was written by Andrew McCarthy up on NRO Corner. The Obama administration opens formal contacts with the Muslim Brotherhood. It's really a remarkable article. We are under attack from around the world, but we can't talk about it. At least we can't name those who want to destroy us because they hide under a burqa. Did you know another terrorist was found, a leader in Afghanistan of the Taliban, was hiding in a burqa? It's like a guy wearing a woman's dress trying to get out of a store with panties because he likes to wear them. So he's wearing them. I mean, this is what they do. Or it's like hiding armaments, ordnance in a mosque or in a church. If you do that, you're abusing the privilege that goes along with the mosque or the church. It is the same in our society. There are subjects, for instance, sex. We can't talk openly about sex. We can't talk about religion openly when it's a danger. But we will talk about them here on the Savage Nation today on Independence Day because we are free. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. A poor replacement, no doubt. But a replacement nonetheless. We care about you. Somebody is here to carry on the banner. Even if it's, I can't hold it up quite as high. It is still there on this 4th of July, and we are live. And the telephone number here, 1-800-449-8255. The Constitution is under attack. Therefore, the Declaration of Independence is actually under attack from here, within the government of the United States, and from abroad. Andrew McCarthy has written a fabulous article, as he always does. Frank Gaffney has written a wonderful article also. It's up on the Savage, Michael Savage's website. Please go up there and read that. I am going to read this, if you haven't already. It is a statement, a condemnation, an indictment of the present administration and the former administration to a much, much smaller degree. They did not recognize the Muslim Brotherhood. They would not. Our ally Israel was supported, was given support by the former administration. This president, Barack Hussein Obama, has decided without question to fundamentally change the United States of America from within and from without by supporting our enemies here and abroad. I don't say these things lightly. I don't think Andrew McCarthy, who has prosecuted these, I won't use the term, he has prosecuted these gentlemen, these individuals. He has studied the ideology that we are at war with. And although we are not in hand-to-hand combat on the streets of the United States just yet, It is only a matter of time. McCarthy says, don't say I didn't warn you. Besides explaining what the Muslim Brotherhood is and has always been, the major point of it was to warn that this day was coming. And so it has come. Reuters reports that the Obama administration has established a policy of formal contacts with the Muslim Brotherhood. The Brotherhood is the world's most important Islamist organization. It is openly, unabashedly committed to the destruction of the United States and the West. Just as communism was, ladies and gentlemen. In typical Obama fashion, this disastrous decision to engage America's avowed enemies has been couched as a mere continuation of prior policy. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is reported to have confirmed that the U.S. would resume contacts, which had occurred in recent years. But make no mistake about it, this is a new policy. The contacts that have occurred in recent years have been outside of U.S. policy, at the urging of leftists in the State Department, the intelligence community, the commentariat, and in particular, the Obama White House. They have long campaigned for a policy of engagement with the Muslim Brotherhood, including Hamas, the terrorist organization that is the Brotherhood's Palestinian branch. They've needed to do this campaigning because it was American policy not to deal with the Brotherhood. That was the Bush administration. That was American policy, realizing what had happened in the world as a result of radical Islamic terrorists. I digress. Dealing with the brothers empowers them, bolstering their status as leaders of mainstream Islam and legitimizing their agenda, which calls for Islamicizing societies, ultimately establishing a global caliphate, destroying Israel, and incrementally expanding Sharia throughout the West. This day has been coming since President Obama's first day in office in 2007-8. The Brotherhood was proved by the Justice Department to be engaged in what the Brotherhood itself describes as grand jihad, aimed at the elimination and destruction of Western civilization from within by sabotage. That's the title of my book, Andrew McCarthy Speaking, was not my words, but theirs, taken from their internal memorandum, seized by the FBI from the home of a Brotherhood official. The Brotherhood anti-U.S. strategy was not news to anyone who follows Islamist movements, but the proof for all to see came during the Holy Land Foundation trial, during which several defendants were convicted of funneling millions of dollars to Hamas. Supporting Hamas terrorists' war against Israel has been the Brotherhood's highest priority in the United States. Since Hamas was formed, the trial evidence showed unmistakably that the leading Islamist organizations in the U.S., almost all either formed by or having ties to the Brotherhood, were complicit. Among the most important of these is the Islamic Society of North America, which was designated as an unindicted co-conspirator by the Justice Department and shown by prosecutors to have housed the Holy Land Foundation for its offices and helped to transfer money to Hamas fronts overseas. Yet, only a few months after the convictions, the Obama administration dispatched Valerie Jarrett. Valerie, of course, you know, ladies and gentlemen, wasn't born in the United States, and she and the president have frequently stated that they see the United States as it really is because of that experience. The Obama administration dispatched Valerie Jarrett, the president's close friend and top political advisor, who really, by the way, she had her eyes on Van Jones, that little commie, that lousy, stinking, rotten communist. Van Jones, Valerie had her eyes, and she said, we. So I guess that means Obama. So she was sent, this president's close friend and top political advisor, to give the keynote address at the Islamic Society of North America's 2009 convention. This was only the most notorious of the administration's outreach episodes involving groups such as CARE, which were shown to be the Brotherhood affiliate. and the Islamist apologists here in the U.S. Indeed, by the time of Miss Jarrett's appearance at the Islamic Society of North America's convention, ISNA, as it is known, that President Ingrid Mattson had been chosen to speak at Obama's inauguration ceremony, and Los Angeles Deputy Mayor Arif Ali Khan, who has referred to Hezbollah as a liberation movement, was named Assistant Secretary for Policy Development at Obama's Homeland Security Department. This is... I'm not going to read the entire article. I can't. I don't have time. But this is a stunning document in that Andrew McCarthy is always stunning when he brings what is clear public knowledge to you and to me. Most of us, some of us who read about this all the time, are aware of some of this. But have you seen this in the NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN pub, drinking club, the news babes who run around, the Valerie Jarrett lookalikes, the Obamaites, the ones who sing about him and have children sing about him? Have you heard them talking about this? We are beginning to entwine ourselves with bloodthirsty murderers who want us dead, because those are their symbols. The Declaration of Independence, you see, was our symbol many, many, many years ago. All those words, symbols, freedom, but their symbols are the destruction of Western civilization, the infidel. Kill the Jew, kill the infidel. Those symbols that I just spoke, translated for you by many Americans who want to warn you. Those symbols are real. You can go up and you can hear them say these words. You can go to memory. You can read the speeches given by imams of immense popularity. And their words are on the front page of newspapers all over the Middle East. Let me continue. The uprising in Egypt intensified, and the Obama advisor, Bruce Riddell, was quick to pen an essay called "Don't Fear Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood," to which I responded at the National Review Online. That's Andrew McCarthy talking again. James Clapper, Obama's director of national intelligence, then proceeded to insult Congress's intelligence and badly damage his own reputation by branding the Brotherhood as a moderate, largely secular organization. Besides being known as the Muslim Brotherhood, the organization's motto remains, Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying is the way of Allah. It is our highest hope, Allahu Akbar. That's their motto today, their symbol today. Only a few months before Clapper's testimony, the Brotherhood's supreme guide, Mohammed Badi, called for jihad and sacrifice in confronting the United States and Israel. He proclaimed that America is experiencing the beginning of its end and is heading towards its demise. He must know something about the Obama administration. The enthusiastic, that's my comment, the enthusiastic endorsement of violence, particularly against Israel, would be surprising only to those who drink the Obama Kool-Aid that claims the Brotherhood has renounced violence. Of course, they haven't renounced violence. They welcome it. They embrace it. They hate us. They openly state they want to kill us. And this man who is our president, sworn to protect us, is engaging in a dangerous game. And I'm going to skip to the end of this article. This is important. Since Mubarak's fall, the Brotherhood has worked toward formally reestablishing Egypt's ties with Iran and for ending the peace agreement with Israel. The Brotherhood is also behind the peace flotilla expeditions in which Islamists and leftists join together in efforts to break Israel's blockade against Hamas in Gaza. The American part, listen to this carefully, the American part of the effort is being spearheaded by such old Obama friends as former PLO spokesman Rashid Khalidi, Code Pink founder Jody Evans, and Weather Underground terrorist Bernadette Dorn and Bill Ayers.
Tell me who you walk with, and I will tell you who you are.
And the planned U.S. ship is called, yes, the Audacity of Hope. He's brought his friends into the government. And they're doing, well, they're going about their master's business. He's given them credibility. This president started his political career in the home of a communist, abetted and aided by these two commies. That was all in the game, wasn't an ordinary politician. Every politician in the United States asks a bunch of commies to kick him in the butt and start his career. This is Dwight Schultz filling in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
The term Muslim Brotherhood is an umbrella term for a variety of movements. In the case of Egypt, a very heterogeneous group, largely secular, which has eschewed violence and has decried Al-Qaeda as a perversion of Islam. They have pursued social ends, betterment of the political order in Egypt. In other countries, there are also chapters or franchises of the Muslim Brotherhood. But there is no overarching agenda, particularly in pursuit of violence, at least internationally.
No, only their stated overarching pursuit of violence. Only killing Jews and taking down the United States of America and killing infidels wherever. That's it. It's only fundamentalist Sharia, which is the problem, by the way. We just have to get our tongue around Sharia, throw out all these phony names, because they're all assumed, by the way. We call each and every one of them by their given name, Abdul. That's it. That's what we do, and we say Sharia is nicht, nada, nach, no, nay, schnu, here. It's there. The ability to do it is here. All we have to do is say it symbolically, clearly, and forcefully. And anybody who wants to can privately talk about it. Do whatever they want. But Sharia is a government ideology that is not compatible with the United States Constitution. It is the way around this. The religion itself is separate from the political orthodoxy. We simply have to put our tongues and our brains around it. The pants are political, ideological, and murderous. The shirt is beautiful. Wear the shirt, don't put on the pants. It's tough when people try to use your constitutional guarantee of freedom of religion to insinuate a political ideology underneath. But it's just like the burqa. It's just like that Taliban or any number of terrorists who put on a burqa. Why do they put on a burqa? Is it because they're religious? No. Is it because they're afraid of the sexual connotations of being a male? No. They're trying to escape. Why do they fill mosques with armaments? Because they know you aren't going to bomb it. Why do they hold children? Why do they give children guns? Why do they use children as shields? Because they know you in the West won't kill them, because you have values that they do not, and they use your values against you. Charles, get number nine ready. Here is an example of something that this president said that has never been clarified. Compare this with Michelle Bachmann's mistakes. Number nine, please.
You know, one of the points I want to make is that if you actually took the number of Muslims, Americans, we'd be one of the largest Muslim countries in the world.
We don't have any Muslims in this country, practically. Why does he say that? How does he get away with it? He gets away with it because there's no one watching. There's no one who wants to contradict. There is no one in the former media that has a brain, that has a care, that is interested in the truth. Nowhere. It is all shadows and light, gauze and mirrors. Almost the entire media, which at one point had some integrity, is now a proponent of the ideology that this president espouses, seemingly. But does anybody really know what he thinks and what his intentions are? This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Yes, I'm an actor. By now you should know who I am. No, you shouldn't. An actor, have been for over 40 years. Long, long past that. I'm a little younger than the good doctor, just a little. Worked all across this country in regional theater. All across this country, down south, up north, wherever you can. 15 years on the boards. Before I set foot in front of a television camera, and then I went on to the A-Team, Howling Mad Murdoch, Star Trek for about 13 years, where you could watch my hair transplants grow.
But he doesn't look the same now. 13 years later, look at that. He's got more hair than when he started. It's the future.
I often wondered about that. Patrick Stewart was bald. It was his choice. You see, they had choice in Star Trek. Women are happy with it because there was choice. If you decide to be bald, that's okay. But if you happen to be bald because of genetics, you poor slob. I'll never forget. I was sitting in Jimmy Ray's in New York City after a show. And I was losing my hair. And this girl was sitting there telling me, oh, don't feel bad about your hair. Don't feel bad. It's meaningless. And then this guy walked in and she looked up and said, oh, my God, he's losing his hair. They do this, you know. They lie. They lie to make you feel better. Is lying to make you feel better okay? It's a question. Today is Independence Day, the 4th of July. Can we have a little music? I don't care what. Play just a little bit of patriotic music there. Yes. Quick, use the fireworks before the EPA says you cannot. Because of the CO2. Yes, it's true, folks. Go out there and see your fireworks display today. Support those people, even if it's illegal. No, I'm lying. I don't mean that. It's a joke. But it's a dying breed. You will only be able to see fireworks in the future if this president remains president and the EPA remains as it is right now, in the future on television. On the 4th of July, it'll be everybody go in front of your television screens. They're big enough now for you to think you're watching real fireworks, and they're in 3D. We've done this. Obama's going to promise a 3D TV for everyone. You'll all be blind. Your eyes will be muscle-bound. by the time he's finished, if he gets another term, we'll all be bulging at the left and right of our eye sockets from our muscular agility in the eyeball area. Looking a little bit at the Declaration of Independence and the dangers that we face from abroad to our independence, to our country, to our actual independence. And I ask this question, why have a Declaration of Independence if we're going to become globally dependent on the United Nations, for instance? Do you see that circle? We can recognize the rest of the world and we can certainly be helpful. But do we have to accede to the United Nations? Do we have to become part of that international community that is socialist, that we, in fact, have protected for the last 50 years? Because it's the United States that created the military umbrella that protected Western Europe and most of the rest of the world from tyranny. But as things would have it, there are certain consequences that occur that you don't anticipate. We've supported some despots because we thought, gee whiz, they're not saying that the United States should be dissolved and destroyed. They didn't have an ideological bent to destroy the United States like communism did. They never said we will sell them the rope. Little slip there. But maybe hanging themselves is more appropriate. We are destroyed. Have you noticed that this president came into power in perhaps the worst, he said it over and over and over and over again, the worst economic situation since the Great Depression. And what did he spend the first 2 years of his administration doing? What? Was it the jobs issue? The horrible economic? What did he spend his time doing? He talked a lot about that. But instead, he crafted a socialist health care bill so that the government would assume all the financial responsibilities of taking care of every citizen in this country. That's what he spent most of his time on. Number two, his other great accomplishment was the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and supporting gay marriage. That's really what he spent most of his time doing. He used all of his capital to achieve those two things, and yet here we are on the verge of international bankruptcy all around the world. Yet he keeps telling you jobs are important. Jobs, yeah, sure. Nancy Pelosi said, jobs, jobs, jobs. But that was not really what they were doing. Because they never really tell you what they're doing. They tell you they are one thing, but their actions tell you that they are quite something else. And it makes our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution all the more important. We're going to deal with the Dream Act and some of the implications of it. The attempts by Democrats and progressives in this country to accumulate more votes and to sink the ship so that we will become even more dependent on the life preserver that progressives call big government. But first of all, I want to get some of our callers here. We have John in Sacramento. You are on the Savage Nation, John.
I am in Sebastopol, sir, and I want to tell you that we are not celebrating Independence Day. We're celebrating Unhappy Dependence Day. Our rights were taken from us, our inalienable rights, taken from us on October 16, 2002, when 373 members of the 107th Congress authorized the President of the United States to use armed forces as he determines to be necessary under Public Law 107-243, which created martial law in the United States and gave us an elected dictatorship.
Thank you for your call. That is a proclamation. That is is that far right? Far to the right. A dictatorship in 2002. If there was a dictatorship, how did we switch dictators? It is pointless to argue with this ideology, this group who believes that you have no freedoms whatsoever. We do have freedoms. We have freedoms to change. We have freedoms to vote and to change whatever we wish to in this country if we have the fortitude to do it. Nothing is hopeless. If the forces that are in the progressive movement do not have the courage to tell you who and what they are fearful. If the forces in the Republican Party do not have the courage to tell you who and what they are, if they are right-wing fascists, then they are fearful. They have not won. We are not in a dictatorship until we are told we are in a dictatorship and accept it. That's the way it works. Hugo Chavez told them where he was going. Castro told the Cubans where they were going. They lie at first, but once they get ensconced, once they've assumed power, the elements of power, they tell you because they have integrity and they have their manhood to support. They want you to know once they've claimed that power that they've got it. But this president, this ideological president, doesn't yet have the courage to tell you who and what he is, nor does the media. Because they are still scratching their way to the top, and they're having a hard time of it right now. A very hard time. This is Dwight Schultz, sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I do believe there will be a rational immigration policy eventually passed. I think there's going to have to be some time. What's interesting about our country, if you study history, is that there are some isms that occasionally pop up. One is isolationism, and its evil twin protectionism, and its evil triplet nativism. So if you study the 20s, for example, There was an American first policy that said, who cares what happens in Europe? What happened in Europe mattered. eventually because of World War II. There was Smoot-Hawley, which was a part of an economic policy, which basically said we don't want trade. In other words, let's throw up barriers. And there was an immigration policy that I think during this period argued we had too many Jews and too many Italians, therefore we should have no immigrants. And my point to you is we've been through this kind of period of isolationism, protectionism, nativism. I'm a little concerned that we may be going through the same period.
No, we're not. Don't be concerned. There's also this little thing, and I've seen it in a lot of places. No more than 15 people in this boat. No more than 235 people in this area at any one time. Why are these laws and provisions and regulations plastered everywhere? Because boats sink. And in a crisis, in a small room, if it's overcrowded, people trample one another and they're killed. So we have these provisions. I know we live in a big country and we have 350 million people, but this country can sink. It is not a limit. We're not talking about immigrants. Nativism, we're not talking about excluding. We want immigrants to this country. We don't want unending illegal immigration, which is what basically we have right now. That's really it. That's really it. It's illegal immigration. So we once had these terms, immigrant, illegal immigrant. But the progressives decided to call immigrants or illegal immigrants or undocumented aliens or the undocumented or the poor who need our help. So they've changed the definition 15 times and George Bush, the compassionate conservative, was no help to this problem. In fact, he is aiding and abetting a true crisis that will come. And it is not helped by talking about immigration and illegal immigration in the same breath, because the next word is racism. And it, too, is a canard used by those who are politically astute. And they know how to create votes out of thin air. We have callers waiting to talk. Mike, you are on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dwight. I wanted to talk about the Declaration of Independence.
Please, sir.
Actually, the Declaration was the beginning of the freedom in this country, not the Constitution. And I think people start, they confuse the two. The Constitution was actually the child of the Declaration. The framers of the Declaration and the Constitution did their absolute best to ensure that people control the government and not the opposite.
You are so right. Continue, please. You are absolutely 100% correct. In fact, the Declaration of Independence, particularly progressives, want the Declaration not even referred to. All they want to do is talk about the Constitution and change all the meaning in it. But they have a hard time with the Declaration, so they don't want to talk about it. So continue, please.
Well, people that want to change the Constitution never refer to the Declaration. They never refer to the writings of the Founding Fathers the ones that proposed the Constitution. Jefferson was probably one of the absolute most intelligent individuals this country will ever see.
You're absolutely right. And go ahead.
Now is we have someone like Al Gore said that the Constitution is a living, breathing document. Those are the types of individuals that want to change and take away our rights through nothing but skullduggery and chicanery.
Mike, you've just said it. Thank you very much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an astute American. That is a very, very astute American. He's right. He's listening to the Savage Nation. This is Dwight Schultz filling in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation on this, the July 4th holiday, the Declaration of Independence Memorial, the greatest act of freedom, people willing to die so that we may live the way we do today. And yet on this day, we are told by Harvard, created, you know, like Yale, you know, religious schools, no longer. But we are told that the 4th of July is really just for Republicans. It just, oh, go parades and all this stuff. It just creates more Republicans, more patriots. And that's not what we want in this country.
What do we want, comrade? Tell us. What is it that we want? We want blood. We want red. We want Chavez. Describe it. We don't want this flag waving. What is it?
A symbol of blood. The flag is a symbol of blood. It's a symbol of everybody who has ever died for this country. It is everything that we are, symbols. When the president of the United States said he wouldn't wear that flag, that was a symbol of what he thought. He's wearing that damn flag now, isn't he? To get elected. Yeah. ABC News. You couldn't run around writing something under the term ABC. I'm writing for ABC News. If you weren't working for ABC, if you were not given permission, they would sue your behind. Why? Because ABC is a news. Well, use Ted Koppel's name. I'm writing under Ted Koppel's name now. I've written 500 articles. I'd be sued. Ted Koppel would have a fit, particularly if I told the truth every day. When I was writing about his hair, about the things he really thinks. Folks, we're all symbols. Anyone who says symbols aren't important and life and blood of everything that we are is a liar. That's all it is. If I say the word condom, a million pictures go through your head. I'm lying. There are only one or two pictures that go, but you see not just that, you see everything attached to it, everything connected with it. If I say pencil, you see a pencil, the one you use. If you don't use a pencil, you probably see something that looks like one, a pen. If I say car, you see it. If I say your wife, you see your wife. Pictures flash faster than 30 frames per second. I'm telling you, it's show scan speed, 60 frames per second in your mind. Because that's all that we are. Everything we are internally, we symbolize on the outside. Our clothes, our hair, our voices, our speech, our house, the way we decorate the house, the clothes we pick, the furniture. Everything is a symbol of what we are, what we want. And the Declaration of Independence guaranteed it. It was, in one incarnation, life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. But that was thought to be, and I think Jefferson was right, and Adams right, and everyone who talked to him, that it had to be happiness. Because happiness was an incorporation of it. Because it is a lie for everybody except the Dalai Lama, who calls himself a Marxist, by the way. We want things. The right to own them was something new in this country, particularly if that right didn't come from the king or a lord of the manor, but rather from, as it says in the Declaration of Independence, the God, nature's God. The deists, the Christians, those who believed in God, who were fundamentally involved in the formation of this country, understood that rights didn't come from men. Men just screw things up. That's all. We're imperfect. And we can't go back in the history of man and his imperfection. We have to move forward. On this Independence Day in 2011, we have, somebody's been on the phone here for some time, Casey in Washington State. You are on the Savage Nation, Casey.
Talk to you.
Yes, indeed. How are you, sir?
Hey, so it is true. Men screw things up, especially religion. And all too often, I think we take this outside look at Islam and claim that the violent terrorists and that kind of thing are perverting this perfectly peaceful religion. It's something we get spoon-fed all the time. But whether it's Bush or Obama, they all all too often we get fed this, and then there's nothing to back it up. There's no substance. And if we're going to take a real look at Islam and put it under a microscope, we really have to look no further than Muhammad, don't you think? I mean, he is the genesis of the religion. He is their prophet. All Muslims, all true Muslims, are called upon to follow his example, just as certainly as Christians are to follow Christ's example. But most people can't tell you the first thing about Muhammad. They don't know that he was 40 when he got his first vision and became a prophet. They don't know that he was in Mecca for 12 years basically as an ineffectual street preacher for quite some time before they kicked him out. And when he went to Medina and decided that he wanted Mecca back, and he became a land pirate and started robbing and looting caravans and then laying siege to villages and then to cities, they don't know that. And then when he got more powerful, as he got rich on the gold and other goods that he took from the caravans and the villages, and he became a warlord, and then he was able to force entire cities to surrender, including the Banu Qurayza, who was a Jewish tribe who had an entire city. And after they surrendered, he beheaded all of the men. This is people who surrendered by the hundreds. Most people don't know that. And that Islam was born by the sword and by blood, born in absolute bloodshed.
Andrew McCarthy, who I read his article earlier here, is someone who is, I think, an individual who is attempting to inform. Most Americans didn't know anything about Islam until after 9/11. Joseph Badansky wrote a book called The Man Who Declared War on America, I think it was 99. And when Osama bin Laden was on television and he was declaring war, nobody paid any attention, very few, to Islam or what it was about. And then after 9/11, everybody's talking about, what did we do? This is the West's reaction. What did we do to cause this? It is the typical reaction of the West. And we have spent the next 10 years trying to figure, particularly progressives, we're trying to figure out what it is that we did to cause this. And you have a few individuals, Andrew McCarthy being one of them, Frank Gaffney another one in this country, but there are a few individuals, yourself included here. You've made a very good point that this religion, and we have a hard time talking about it. I said this earlier. We won't talk about religion. Brennan refused. He said jihad is personal. He took the lie that is told by the jihadis, and he used it as propaganda against the American people by saying jihad is a personal. Every violent Islamic group in the world before and after 9/11 had the word jihad in it. Islamic jihad meant we're going to kill you. It's as clear as a day what jihad is. When you hear if you go to memory, you read some of these translations of these speeches by these very powerful imams. Jihad is the way. I read to you, and McCarthy had it in this piece. See if I can find it again here. I'm going to have to say, see, I can't do three things at once. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is the law. Jihad is our way, and dying is the way of Allah. It's our highest hope. Allahu Akbar. And then we want a national struggle about how to live peacefully with the Jews. How many decapitation videos have to be struck? How much money has to be paid on the Arab street and join decapitation videos before you, and by you I mean those who believe all that crap, and that When the Muslim Brotherhood were caught by the FBI in Philadelphia talking about destroying this country from within, it's no different than when they caught the commies. And we have the same problem today that we had then. Alger Hiss and Harry Hopkins, the two closest advisors to the President of the United States, Franklin Roosevelt, were with him in Yalta. They were it each ear, and they were communist agents at the highest levels. There's so many damn commies in our government. Harry Dexter White, if you read the Venona decrypts, you want to get sick. The United Nations was a vehicle created by Alger Hiss and Andre Gromyko. And when McCarthy said it was nothing but a portal for red spies in the United States, the United Nations, he was 100% correct. And we spent how many years denying it? They never admit that they're commies and that they wanted to overthrow the government of the United States, that they wanted to see us go. They never admitted it. Hiss never admitted it. He died without admitting the truth. Hopkins didn't admit it. Harry Dexter White didn't admit it. These were people who ran around with a smile on their face, like Rashid Khalidi. Well, I can't mention some others. Yes, that's I said exactly what I meant. I can't mention some others. Because, after all, it's guilt by association, isn't it? Bill Ayers and Bernadette Dorn, Rashid Khalidi. Guilt by association? Appointing a commie? Van Jones to your green, to be your green czar, when you have insinuated the Green Party's global warming, global climate change, sustainable development plank in every department of the government of the United States, and the guy who's going to implement it all is a communist, a radical, who says you get your marching orders from the military and you're too stupid? What does that sound like, folks? That's who we have as president. We just don't have anybody with, well, I don't know, maybe they've all had a sex change. A loving husband. The press secretary. Carney. Not Art. She and Amin Poor sitting around there, all those women talking about, man, we need more women, not enough. Well, you know, I'm going to say this, folks. I did it on this program three or four programs ago. We are facing testosterone like you have never seen in radical Islam, in China, and now in India, where children, girl children, are being killed by the millions. And in this country, it's exactly the opposite. You're not safer. You are less safe today. It's a large picture. All you got to do is picture it. They're killing women all around the world. And those are aggressive powers. And what are we doing? This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
When I look around this room, I see America's future. Our doctors, our teachers, our nurses, our engineers, our scientists, our soldiers, our congressmen, our senators, and maybe our president. I ask my colleagues to consider the plight of these young people who find themselves in a legal twilight zone through no fault of their own. They are willing to serve the country they love. All they're asking for is a chance. Opponents of this bill say they sympathize with Dream Act students, but they criticize the bill and offer no alternative. Do they want these young people to leave, to go back to countries where they may never have lived or don't remember, or to continue living in the shadows and in doubt about their future? These dreamers would happily go to the back of any line and wait their turn for citizenship, but there is no line for them to get into. I urge my colleagues to support the Dream Act.
That was Dick Durbin, ladies and gentlemen. He urges his colleagues to support the Dream Act, which is amnesty for illegal aliens immigrants in this country. And of course, the president doesn't need to or doesn't need to wait. And Durbin doesn't have to pass the DREAM Act because Obama is doing it by executive order. This is according to the Phoenix Conservative Examiner. As there are executive orders issuing orders to ICE agents to use prosecutorial discretion. It essentially does not have to assert enforcement authority available to the agency. And according to Obama policy releases to the news media, federal, this is a quote, federal immigration officials do not have to deport illegal aliens if they are enrolling in any type of educational program, if their family members have volunteered for the U.S. military service, or if they're pregnant or nursing. It's become quite a controversy because our president is doing everything by executive order. He's attempting to establish environmental laws by executive order. He has insinuated environmental laws into the faith-based outreach plank that was instituted by George Bush. That's right. Faith-based outplank has a global warming segment to it. We have to take care of the environment and the weather and the temperature of the planet through prayer, I imagine. Actually, when you read it, you are stupefied. It's just part of an ideological nonsense that inhabits the brain of this president, and that he does not care about order. He does not care about the Constitution. He doesn't care about the way things were ordered to keep civil society civil, because he is about chaos. He says he's not, and then he does it. So he says, oh, okay, we have to pass the DREAM Act. He sends Durbin out to talk about it. But then behind the scenes, he and Cass Sunstein, a few others get together and say, oh, we'll just order everybody not to pay attention to the law. Remember, he's the one who's bringing suit against Arizona for protecting the border, which is his responsibility. It's as ugly as it can be. Now, I want you to just hear these two cuts very quickly. This was Obama, the State of the Union speech, the famous Joe Wilson lie scream from the floor of the House when both houses of Congress were in session for the State of the Union speech. Number four, please.
There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This, too, is false. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally.
There you go. Okay, cut that. Cut it. Now play. This is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I want you to understand, when the president says illegal, what he is talking about. I want you to listen to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, Democratic Committee Chairman. Here she is. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, number five, please.
I think the president was clearly articulating that his position, Democrats' position, is that we need comprehensive immigration reform. We have 12 million undocumented immigrants in this country that are part of the backbone of our economy, and that is not only a reality but a necessity, and that it would be harmful if the Republican solutions that I've seen in the last few years is that we should just pack them all up and ship them back to their own countries, and in fact that it should be a crime and we should arrest them all. I mean, that was in legislation that Jim Sensenbrenner advanced a couple of years ago.
All right, it should be a crime. It should be illegal to be an illegal alien. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Wilson was not lying. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting...
exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. I'm a professional actor, been around for over 40 years, best known as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team, Barkley on Star Trek Next Generation. Happened to play Robert Oppenheimer opposite Paul Newman in a film called Fat Man and Little Boy, which was literally a bomb. Boom. Story that is untold by me. A lot of interesting stories in the story. But the movie was not successful for a variety of reasons. Although Roland Jaffe, the director, is many a really brilliant guy. He was like a shepherd, really, as a director. But too many problems. The story that has not been told, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say it. Said it before, I'm going to say it again. The story of the atomic bomb has not been told exactly as it happened. It has not. It is, like many other things, mythological. Do you have to talk like this and keep my tongue there? Can you listen to this for the next 40 minutes? Mythological, it is. Leo Szilard walking across the street seeing a red light. Ah! Fusion, fission! Ach, whoopas, cut, cut. No, folks, the Soviet Union, Stalin had so many spies in Germany. They split the atom, you know, the Germans did. We built the bomb for Stalin, folks. Yes, we did. A story to be told, but not here. Because today is July 4th, and we are celebrating Hugo Chavez's birthday. Are you listening? The Declaration of Independence. The United States Declaration of Independence. Not a revolution like revolutions elsewhere. This was born of freedom. It truly was. It was not just liberté. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But our rights came from not the king, not from some street urchin, not from some philosopher who wrote a book about the dead and dying and death and nothingness, but that our rights come from God. Higher nature, something larger than yourself. If you're an Alcoholics Anonymous, you know what that is. That there is something bigger than you. When you actually, and as the founders who signed the Declaration, when they recognized that there was something bigger than they were, another word, another symbol can be extracted from that. It's called humility. Ego and humility together create a very, very interesting world. One, too much of one, too much of the other, and you have disaster. When you have the right balance, you have just as life. Fortuitously, scientists tell us, oh, life is an accident. Had to be the right balance, right? Everything just came into being. Well, if that's what the scientists want to believe, if that's what the atheists want to believe, then fine. Perfectly okay. But the founders of this country believed in something else. And we today, we share the fruits of their brilliance. And the rest of the world gasped as George Washington handed power off from one government to the next. They all gasped because they said to themselves, are we next? I give George Bush credit for looking at the Middle East the way he did, from an experimental standpoint, hoping beyond hope that this thing called freedom was in all of us. But when you realize that every revolution, even those that say they're about freedom, are really not. They're really about just the ideas of a group of small men, small percentage of the population. Most people don't want anything to do with revolt. They want to be told what to do, where to go, and they want food on the table and a place to sleep and a 60-inch LCD high-definition television. Just that. I want surround sound, high-quality surround sound, not from today, but from the late 70s, early 80s. We can have it in our democracy. You can't have it in Korea. You can't have it in Cuba. You can't have it in Venezuela, folks. Have you seen the pictures of Chubby Chavez running around going, "I expropriate, I expropriate, I expropriate"? It's funny, except it's real. Of course, we're almost on the verge of that here. But we have to fight it. I'm reading to you from Claire Ellicott. This was up on Hot Air. Scientists say women really do helps them spot whether a man is straight or gay just by looking at his face. And the instinct is at its strongest when she is at her most fertile and in the mood for romance. Their findings suggest that a woman's ability to determine whether a potential male partner is straight or gay is linked to the impulse to have children. This is scientists talking now, folks, not Republicans, not conservative Republicans, not religious zealots. During the three experiments, some 40 heterosexual women were shown a set of photographs of 80 men's faces, all with the same expression. Researchers found women were remarkably adept in being able to spot the gay and straight men. But in a similar experiment using photographs of gay and straight women, they were less able to differentiate. The study by psychologists at the University of Toronto, it would be in Canada, of course. Oh, we're going to test these gay people, eh? How about them women can tell the gay guy, yay? Oh, you betcha. They compared the results to the woman's cycles and at the University of Toronto, and they found out that those who were at their most fertile had the most accurate male gaydar. That's their word. Lead researcher Professor Nicholas Rule said the effect is not apparent when a woman is judging another female. Whatever. This suggests that fertility influences a heterosexual woman's attention to potential mates rather than merely increasing sensitivity to sexual orientation or nonverbal cues more generally. I bring this out because in a little while I'm going to talk about the judge's ruling here in California, which overturned the people's vote to assign marriage to heterosexual couples only. I want to read some of his ruling and the words that he himself used and some of the thinking, which is an absolute disgrace. But we have we in California are a disgrace in almost every area. And so I'm just adding one more disgrace to this disgrace. It's a disaster, really. We are now compounding thought that is illogical and I don't want to use this word. I'm going to use the word, but I don't mean it the way it's going to. Tree has bark. A dog barks. Therefore, a tree is a dog. That is what we are doing, and we are putting it into law, and we will suffer for it. I will get to that in just a bit, but we have some callers here, and I want to get to them because they've been holding on. This is Jim in Texas. You are on the Savage Nation, Jim.
Yes, sir. I enjoy the show. Always thank have. You. Enjoy it when you fill in for mine.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, I called in about the immigration laws. This is a roundabout way of the communists trying to get in the back door here. All this is propagated, I'm sure, for purpose, to fill agenda. I served faithfully 4 years in the Air Force during the Vietnam conflict, and I used to say American first, God servant first, American second, Texan third. I think that's kind of gotten out of whack here. I am a God servant first, Texan second, American citizen third. are pushing pretty hard trying to divide this stuff up. There's people that say, well, Tricky Dick Durbin's the one that did that. And I do have respect for Richard Nixon. I served under the man. He's an honest man. Even though a lot of people think he might not have been, I think he was. He was just trying to find out what the Democrats were up to. This is, in the state of Texas, they're pouring over the borders. And Dick Durbin says, well, one day there'll be senators, congressmen, and eventually maybe even our president.
Yes.
Well, that might be a cold day in hell, not as far as I'm concerned.
Some big amendments to the Constitution for that one, right?
Yes, that would take three-quarter states and three-quarter Congress or something like that crap. I don't know exactly what they're doing with it these days, but it seems like it changes up real regular.
Well, let me ask you this, and this I know I feel this. Do you feel that you are being provoked as opposed to just the normal everyday politics? Do you feel in your gut that you and the citizenry of this country are being provoked? If you understand what I mean.
Yes, provoked is not the word for it. They're out now causing a very big disturbance, I would say. Mm-hmm. That's what this country was founded on, force meeting force. The English said that they were going to tax and all this. Well, I don't think it was all about the taxes or the Stamp Act or former papers. It was these peoples that lived in this portion of England said, we're not going to take their crap no more, and we're just going to do what we need to do to solve this problem. So you meet force with force. Any force that comes over the borders should be considered an invasion, is what I consider it.
Yes, thank you for your call. It is an invasion. And, of course, as you know, there are terms that are used by ICE and by the government to refer to those who are not of Mexican origin, who are coming across the border. And we have a lot of them. If you've noticed that recently in Washington State, there were two Muslims who were arrested. They were going to attack a military base. We had a recruiting officer killed year or so back by a Muslim. We had the terrible case with the psychiatrist who killed, I think it was 18 Americans, soldiers getting ready to go abroad, Hassan Nidal. Nidal Hassan, rather. Excuse me. I get it back. It doesn't matter. It was a soldier of Allah. That's where we should leave. In the military. Now, you will note that the DREAM Act, this wonderful, compassionate DREAM Act, says, well, if you're here in this country illegally, but you are going to serve in the military, then you get your citizenship. Why do we want people here illegally to serve in the military? We have 350 million legal citizens. In fact, we are opening the door. We have just opened the door to our enemies. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And with revolutionary context, let's be clear about one thing. Our enemy is not the Minutemen. Quote me. Our enemy is not the Minutemen. Because the Minutemen are not the ones who have killed over 4,600 people at those borders. That our enemy is the same enemy as Hugo Chavez. That Hugo Chavez has. Our enemy is the same enemy that keeps Africa poor. Our enemy is the same enemy that keeps Asia poor. Our enemy is capitalism and imperialism.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Ron Goetz's history moment. here on Independence Day on the Michael Savage program. I love to bring up Mr. Goches. He's still teaching here in Los Angeles. Soon we will be teaching gay history in Los Angeles. It's part of the curriculum now. Mark Leno said, get used to it. It's not going away. I wonder if they're going to teach the in 1980, when the AIDS crisis was out of control and everybody who tried to tell anyone whose life was being destroyed by this virulent disease, anyone who tried to help them by telling them how it was happening, we were told, no, you are a monster. We will kill you. We will destroy you. All you want to do is impede our lifestyle. I wonder if they will teach that in the gay history lessons in California, or if they will teach in Maryland, with now that they all have to be proficient in environmentalism. I wonder if they will teach the great, loving, and moving story of Premier Mikhail Gorbachev, custodian of the greatest technological and environmental disaster in history of the Soviet Union, who after his life as premier decided to become an environmentalist. I am going to start Green Cross, and nobody will laugh, and everybody will accept me because I'm good man. Good man. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
The Star Spangled Banner, for those of you new to the country. For those of you who are just having a drink in an airport. For those of you who are simply taking advantage of the great rights that we have in this country, this is the musical symbol of the United States of America. Francis Scott Key in Baltimore being attacked by none other than the British. Fort McHenry. Ladies and gentlemen, the Star Spangled Banner. I know that history because I was born in Baltimore. I was inculcated with that story. And I used to sing the Star Spangled Banner. Yes, I used to be able to sing it. I don't know if I can sing it today. I don't know if my voice can carry all the way to the top forcefully. But it is a great song. And I always get very angry when I hear anybody want to change it, which progressives want to do frequently. Just like they want to get rid of the Electoral College. Hillary Clinton, keep your pants on. I don't know what that means, but please keep them on and keep the Electoral College in the same place. We have a caller. Patrick in Florida, you are on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dwight. The way I look at it is that liberalism begins in the home. It begins with parents with the self-entitlement attitudes, and then they instill those self-entitlement attitudes to their children. The liberals of the early 60s understood this when they started attacking the American family with liberal policies in overtime. And even Reagan warned about this when he said it was all up to the American family. It's up to the American family to keep the fabric of society close-knit. Well, that's why liberals always attack the family, with liberal policies attacking children. You got your women's liberation movement. You got affirmative action and all the other entitlements that came out. And things that basically teach, hey, if you can't do it ourselves, we can depend on someone else to do it for us. And that's what's really ruining our country. It begins with the family and then trickles all the way up into Washington. You know, it's not like we have just communists in the White House. We got them everywhere. We got them even in local government, too.
Yes, you're absolutely right. No, the caller is right, ladies and gentlemen. If you, you know, I've received some emails from people saying, oh, don't you talk about those commies. Please don't talk about that commie stuff. It is part of the history, folks. And if all I ask you to do is to read Elizabeth Bentley, who turned, along with Whitaker Chambers, she turned in the commies. She was working for the communists. And on the stand, when talked about her affairs with various communists, she elucidated on the lifestyle of the communists. They don't believe in marriage. They don't believe in having children the way you believe in having children. It was right out of the Invasion of the Body Snatchers. The whole communist ethic was the destruction of the nuclear family, children raised in village form. Where have you heard that before? In government. Children raised in government. And that the parents only see the children every once in a while. And this was Castro. This is one of Castro's big deals. Yes. And what it does, the nuclear family, which is the basis of freedom in this country, you have a right to go where you want, to live where you want, to have, and that it is, you are self-sufficient. The idea that a family is self-sufficient and doesn't need the government to tell it what to do is being eaten away every little bit. And it starts there. And then once the kids, as the caller said, as Patrick said, the kids just naturally carry it on. It moves on to another stage. So you've eaten away at the foundation back in the 60s. The 70s is a little weaker. The 80s, weaker yet. And that generation is a disgrace. What else do you have to say, Patrick? Anything else?
Well, just the fact that, like nowadays, like for example, another example of that, foreign trade zones. Now, I don't know if you've had any research on this, but there's apparently 257 of them at approximately 50 square miles apiece. And to show you how much wrong we have become as a country as far as defense goes, I mean, you got exclusively Chinese people occupying these zones, which are considered to be foreign territory. Now, what's up with that?
That is in the United States?
Yeah, you've heard of them, haven't you? The foreign trade zones. They're approximately 50 square miles in area. And
well, you'd have to point, you know, I would have to have that specifically pointed out to me, and I'd have to visit one of these zones. I've never been in. I mean, I've driven all across this country back and forth, and I've never run into a zone where there were Chinese or any other kind of foreigners. Of course, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Thank you for your call, Patrick. I have to. This is one of those things where I have to see this or experience it. There are many strange things that go on in this country. But these, I for 50 years, I've been hearing about these things. I haven't seen one yet. I am perfectly willing to go to one of these zones. So if somebody knows where one of these zones are, please send it to me in care of Talk Radio Network. And I'll see if I can visit one. And if they keep me out, I will tell the story here on Talk Radio Network. But it is there is no question that the caller was right about the family. I want to give this, you know, here in California, again, this president, in the midst of all this turmoil, the state of California is a disaster. I just saw on television today that the Inland Empire wants to secede from California because the liberal progressive movement in Sacramento has so denuded this state of business, enterprise, of workers. I mean, industry has left the state of California, which is where I live. It is just an embarrassment. They even sent a delegation to Texas to see why Texas was doing so well, why we were doing so poorly. Now, they didn't have to do that. They could have just asked me. and I would have told them. But they didn't. So the delegation comes back, but it wouldn't do any good anyway. The delegation comes back and tells them, well, they have low taxes, and they have low regulations, and they're just very friendly to business.
Well, we can't do that. I can't do that. No, comrade, can we do that?
Where's the SEIU?
Perdóneme, sir.
Okay. It's a disaster. I think our election bureau, I think there are 60 languages available to people to vote. None of them for citizens. Are you a citizen? You're a citizen. It's amazing. Anyway, the Inland Empire, half the state wants to secede. I hope they do and take me with them. I want to get out. I'm not kidding you. A poll was taken here in California. 49, almost 50% of the people in California want to put Barack Obama back in the presidency. That is my ticket out of here. Please, I beg the rest of the country hearing this program, think of this right now as an SOS, but an anti-SOS. Don't save us. Please, whatever you do, do not save us. Particularly if you're in the great unwashed center of the country where all of the great Americans live. Do not save us. Fight not to save the state of California, which is going down the tubes. They do not care. The great experiment here in California is how much money they can leech from the government. How many taxes can we raise? We have the highest taxes now. More and more money. Let's just take money. It's legalized theft. They've got the money. Let's get it. It's ours. It's rightfully ours. I want this money. He's got this. They've got this. The president's going to talk about it. We're going to get money from the people who have planes and business. And everybody who's got money, we want it. And if we get it, what are we going to do with it? We're going to give it away and then we're going to get more money. And then we're going to kill for the money. Nobody will know because we're the government. We just take money wherever. There's money there. I know it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so embarrassing. The solution is the same. And the president of the United States, he looks to California for a nod of the head. Can I ask for more money? Blame those airplanes and let's see, big oil and big medicine and big energy and big anything big. Big heads, big head of lettuce. You know, and then they keep the secrets. Big farms. They destroyed the farms in Central California because of a damn fish. The Delta smelt. You're not hearing about it. Almonds, pecans. The price of pecans just went up 100%. 100%. Well, that's because Chinese like pecans. And a lot of pecan orchards in California have problems. Yeah. Yeah. Globalism. Yeah. It's going to help. Those Chinese. A lot of men there. They're killing the women in the womb. If you have more than one, you get taxed. So have a boy. And you got a boy, but he can't find a woman. What's the problem? We're killing the women. Oh. Now I can't do the Chinese accent. Because that's... By the way, the Dutch just rejected multiculturalism. Did you hear that? Yes. It's a polite word, multiculturalism, for accepting everything as equal. So the French, the British, the Germans, and now the Dutch. And by the way, congratulations to Geert Wilders. He was exonerated. Finally. There's a guy who the Americans in this country ought to have, everywhere he went, he should have been given a parade. Yes, he's gay. I don't care, because that has nothing to do with his brave stance against those who wish to kill in the name of religion. It's embarrassing to say, but he did it. He, too, for a while, was banned from Britain, like the great Dr. Michael Savage. Dr. Michael Savage still is banned. Although it's an, I think, soon to be considered an honor bestowed upon him with the speed with which Great Britain is also going and spiraling down the tubes. But yes, and the French, by the way, if you did not know, the French Parliament has rejected gay marriage. But here in California, We had a proposition that was voted by the people of California. And that proposition was that marriage should be considered between a man and a woman. Something that's been going on for 3,000-4,000 years. Sometimes between a man and several women. Yes, that's right. But still between a man and a woman. The word marriage is a peculiar name applied to it. And we shall get to that when we come back. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation in the last few minutes of privilege that I have. Putting number 8 in the can, a new T-shirt for me. At the mall, they love me. I'm giving someone work by sitting here. That's it. Only because of my own ego to go out and say I sat in for Savage 8 times. I can't be satisfied with my old T-shirts. I got to get a new one. Also, I'm a little heavier now, so I got to get a bigger T-shirt. That's embarrassing to admit, but I am admitting things here on the Savage Nation. And I want to get to this before the show ends. So here it was. You have to know, Vernon Walker, the judge who was rumored to have been gay, who sat in and who was the Vaughn Walker, United States District Chief Judge, rumored to be gay, and he was. Of course, he didn't tell anybody he was gay until after he retired. But he has the plaintiff's case against the Proposition 8 to overturn the people's vote. The Due Process Clause provides that no state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without the process of law. Plaintiffs contend that the freedom to marry the person of one's choice is a fundamental right protected by the Due Process Clause, and that Proposition 8 violates this fundamental right. That's on page 5. On page 115, it says, California has created two separate parallel institutions to provide couples with the same rights and obligations. Now, the only reason that the judge is that he couldn't say the same rights and obligations, because it's a state here that we're talking about. You know, in the Catholic Church, the principal priest in marriage ceremony is the man and woman. It's the same with baptism. There is no priest, no surrogate involved. You are married. You don't have to you don't have to get a justice of the peace to marry. You don't need a license to get married in the church. You marry each other. But what this was all about, when you read this grotesque personal attack on an institution that's been around for thousands of years, is it's not enough to have all the same rights, even though that's rights. It's my right, my choice, my fundamental right to what? The person of my choice. Fill in the blank. You must like me. That's what it's about, folks. The next step on the destruction of the family unit. Mark my words. Is you will be sued if you don't like someone. You will be forced to accept someone. Now, I as an actor could be rejected a million times. Your hair's too thin. Your breasts are too big for a guy. You're too fat. You're not good looking enough. You have brown eyes, not blue. And you're nasal. You didn't sound good there. All of that. Get rid of it. Get rid of the entire entertainment industry. Let's just sue if you don't get the job. It's my right to be liked. I'm a better actor anyway. I could prove it. I got two hit series. It's just a lot of nonsense. A lot of selfish, self-important drivel in the form of a legal document by a guy who hated the church and hates anybody who is different than he is. That's all that this says. I could go on and on and on throughout this. There are so many perversions of truth and logic in this document. It is a disgrace. And I'm going to say this, that the proponents did a lousy job protecting the Declaration of Independence in the United States of America, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the greatest nation on this planet. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.